You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it.
I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor with myself, DJ Ambush, and Dr. Bukasi Dubé. You know how we do. Every single Friday, we get together and give you the latest and not so greatest what's going on with the COVID pandemic. And sometimes, depending on the innovations and things that are happening with it, it is the latest and greatest. But today is a very, very special episode. I can't believe we're here already. 50 episodes. I don't know where the time has went. Doc, I don't know how we got here, but I'm very grateful for the opportunity thus far. And I'm additionally grateful that our co-host, our second co-host, is joining us for this episode amongst the slew of other guests. But before we get to any of that, Doc, how are you this week, man?
Man, I am doing well. I am as surprised as you are that we're at episode 50, man. I remember when we started this about a year ago. It's been a little over a year ago. It's been quite a journey. It's been fun. I've really learned a lot. I've enjoyed, you know, sharing information with folks and, you know, talking to you every week. Like I said, I always look forward to Wednesdays because of hanging out with you and Chris. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good, Bukasi. Thanks for asking. Hey, DJ Ambush. Thanks for having me on. You know, doing well. I was thinking, you know, 50 episodes. I think in the first episode, I had a lot of hair. And now episode 50, I think I lost my hair. No, this is the highlight of my week to join everyone. It always feels like coming and talking to family. These are the questions community has, and you know, I just enjoy this time just with folks. So thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think it's time that we bring on our guests. And if we could start with members that are on today that don't usually get any attention, don't get any of the spotlight for all the work that they've been doing. Let's start with the production team. Savannah.
Yes, I will kick us off. My name is Savannah Davis. I'm a project manager with the Oregon Health Authority in the COVID-19 Communications Unit. I help project manage this podcast series. My role is mostly to make sure we're all organized and have what we need to run a successful show. It is truly the work of everybody else here that makes this work so amazing. So thank you for getting us to 50 episodes. And I will pass it to TK.
Hi, everyone. My name is TK Kapura. I work as an immigrant and refugee systems strategist for the Multnomah County. I work with Savannah doing the support work, research on the questions, and then we relate to the medical experts for processing. Glad to be here.
And then we'll pass it to Jack Hui.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jack Hui Colston, and I'm working as the writer of the Ask a Black Doctor podcast. I work along with the COVID Communications Unit for the Oregon Health Authority. And so I do a lot of the research and come up with the questions that most of you have, and work with our senior health advisors, which for our podcast is Dr. Dubé. So thanks, and I enjoy being a part of this.
Thank you, Jack Hui. And last but certainly not least, Serena.
Thank you, Savannah. Hi, everyone. My name is Serena Saturn. I use she, they pronouns. I am new to this team, but such a huge fan of all of the amazing work of this extraordinary initiative and honored to be here. I am a neuroscience scientist by training, and I am a community research evaluation scientist working for the Oregon Health Authority and with Multnomah County Health Department.
Passing it on to Amina.
Hello, my name is Amani. I am the COVID-19 Therapeutics Operations Manager, and I work for Oregon Health Authority. Thank you for having us here.
Thank you. Richard?
And hi, I'm Richard Lehman. I work with Bukosi, with Dr. Dubé, as a senior health advisor, and I'm just a big Dr. Dubé fan.
Awesome. Gregory.
Hey, everyone. My name is Greg DeWolzier. I'm with OHA's therapeutics department. I am the outreach coordinator, and my role is to make sure that Oregonians know about the COVID-19 therapeutics that are available to them.
Excellent. Excellent.
Great to be here again.
Thank you. That's it. We got everybody, right, Doc? We got everybody? I think we got everybody. Cool. I'm not used to having this many people on the screen, so I didn't know whether there was someone was missing. But this is great. This is amazing. Yeah, so this series started out primarily as an effort to make sure we were getting the most accurate information out, in addition to debunking all of the conspiracy theories and urban legends and everything else that was really, you know, feeding to people being vaccine resistant or just even resistant to any of the information and mitigation factors. Can anyone mention, this is a pop quiz, can anyone mention maybe the most outlandish theory that they heard either about COVID-19 initially or the vaccines? I will start. I do remember there being some very serious concerns about the vaccine having some type of 5G technology tracking situations in it. And we had to spend a couple episodes discussing how that is just not a thing. And if you wanted to track people, you could just use existing technology like their cell phones. Never, you know, that aside, could anyone else remember any really, really, really just astounding and bewildering things we had to combat?
The one I heard was that the government was trying to do population control. So
okay,
a lot of people were so worried about effects like erectile dysfunction and many other infertility issues that came by, but they were later debunked as we went by.
Okay. All right.
One I would like to add is, I know it's a good thing to have a magnetic personality, but... but the vaccine didn't, you know, there was this whole idea that taking the vaccine would cause magnetism. And, you know, that was, I guess, on TikTok or all the social media sites. And so, you know, definitely was something we had to kind of address.
You remember how there's some people with very big microphones, megaphones, I call them. And yes. Nicki Minaj comes to mind. And her cousin's friend who ended up with I think what we think is an STD and but was discussed as a vaccine side effect. Anyway, it is not true. Vaccines do not cause infertility.
Yeah, I do recall having to, you know, rely on my Instagram medical degree a couple of times to, you know, bring some clarity to our conversation. So, you know, that one I definitely remember. That one stuck out. And I want to be clear to our listeners. We're not making fun of the concerns of our community. But we got to bring some levity to, I guess, what really rests at the core of dialogue like this, which is, you know, Black and brown people not really trusting the government, not really trusting science, not really trusting medical professionals based on the history that we've experienced here. So, you know, that's completely understandable. But, hey, we're here. We're trying to combat that. It is important to see people that look and sound like you and can relate to your experience, that are active in your community doing the work. That's always important. And we always, you know, encourage people to reach out and pose questions. And I hope this series has been as helpful to our listeners as it has been to me. It has been a transformative experience, honestly. I've learned so, so much. And if this is your first episode, you have 49 more to go back and check out. There's a slew of information there. So much. Let's talk a little bit about some of the different advances and some of the significant things that have happened that you guys possibly have experienced during this whole process. Anyone can chime in.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to mention that, you know, how telehealth took off during the pandemic. You know, I think for me in medical practice, you know, there are only a few of us that did telehealth. And one thing I think is that it showed us the digital divide, but it also increased better access and some equity, you know. And now I can see someone between shifts at work rather than them driving all the way to a clinic appointment, waiting 20 minutes in the waiting room, and then, you know, waiting for me for another couple of minutes. So it really allowed folks to get access to care during a very trying time. But it also showed us that not everyone had access to a smartphone or had access to the internet. And so, you know, it was just eye-opening. So that was a big advance. I don't think telehealth is going to go away. I think it's here to stay.
You know, as a parent, I'm very impressed at, and I'm in awe of researchers and the federal government and our state and local governments in how they rolled out vaccines for, you know, 5 and older. And how quickly that happened, right? No one thought would have had a vaccine this quickly for 5, you know, for the pediatric population, eagerly anticipating the 6 to 4 year olds rollout. But in the whole process, right? Just talking about how vaccines came into being, man. The lightning speed, the collaboration that happened all over the world is just remarkable. I mean, from the Chinese scientists who decoded the genome for the coronavirus and sharing it freely and widely to the rest of the world, and all the companies coming together, all the governments coming together with their own versions of Operation Warp Speed, mm-hmm. is unprecedented and just remarkable. And being, you know, being alive to witness it all, right? To see it all is quite quite impressive.
While we're right there, let's discuss. Let me go over our current vaccination data. So we've reached the state's goal of vaccinating 80% of this population with the primary dose on March 22nd, 2022. 80.6% have received at least one dose, 71.8% have completed their primary series, and 35.6% have received a booster dose of any COVID-19 vaccine in addition to completing the primary series. So this is progress, definitely in the way that so many people were just resistant in the first place. But now we are seeing numbers are going back up a little bit here. We're seeing hospitalizations going back up. And we have spent episodes talking about best practices, mitigation factors, and things of that nature. Would any of you like to go around and speak to some of the things that you're seeing now with the numbers going up and any additional information you'd like to give our listeners?
Richard, we're all looking at you.
I guess anything that could reinforce a conversation around best practices.
Yeah. I guess, Dr. Dubé, one thing I would say is happily now we also have some medications that people who are at higher risk for severe disease from COVID, severe illness, can take, and they can be very, very effective at helping to prevent hospitalization or prevent death. And I think one of our jobs is to make sure that those folks know that if they're at higher risk, if they're at increased risk of severe illness, they know that if they can come in quickly, get tested, and get started on those medicines, they can protect themselves. Or if they've got a family member who's in that situation, they can help that family member get in, get tested, and get started on medicine to help protect them.
Now, really appreciate Amani and her team for being at the forefront of that, and you know, talking about therapeutics and what's available out there.
No kidding. You know, it's just I just lucked out, Bukosi, into starting to work with this team a few months ago. And have I learned a lot? Yes. And it's been really impressive to see what Greg and Amani have accomplished. It's impressive.
Now, with regards to the therapeutics and the medications that are now available, are these things that would curb, are these tools that would actually curb the percentage of long COVID that we're seeing? Like, what's the effect there?
I don't think we have a great handle on that, whether we actually can prevent the symptoms of long COVID from the use of these medications. But, you know, we're going to keep learning. And I hope so. I don't know that for sure, but I hope so. Amani, I don't know if you've seen anything, or Dr. Dubey or Dr. Evans, if you've seen anything about that, but I hope so.
So I recall when we had Dr. Evans, the gentleman from OHSU Long COVID Clinic, the episode that we had a few weeks ago, we talked about therapeutics and the impact, not just therapeutics, vaccination and the impact on long COVID, and essentially echoed what Dr. Lehman just said, that we don't have sufficient data to definitively speak on this issue. But what we do know is that reducing your chances of getting COVID, i.e. getting vaccinated, reduces your chance of getting long COVID.
Exactly. For anyone that may not be clear on accessing or having access to therapeutics, what would be the best way to do that?
I can go ahead and take that. So, hey, everyone, I'm Annie again. There are actually several ways, but the number one thing that we always say is that as soon as you develop symptoms, as soon as you start feeling a little crummy, call your doctor. And if you don't have a doctor, you have not been set up with a healthcare system, call 211. 211 can help you connect with resources. And if you don't want to do that, that's okay too. You can go ahead and visit the Federal Test to Treat webpage and see if there's a test to treat area location in your area. You can just pop in your zip code, your city, and it'll show the nearest test to treat location. Now, keep in mind, we do know that right now the test to treat locations are a little limited, but I assure you that our team is working really hard to expand that access. So you will start to see more sites pop on that federal locator in the upcoming months. So definitely check that often. But that would be a really good place to start if you do not have a healthcare provider, perhaps have called 211 or did not call 211 and just want to see if there's a test to treat location in your area. And then you would go there. You can either get a test there, or let's say before you went there, you took an at-home test. You can bring that at-home positive test over to that location. You'll have a conversation with a healthcare provider that would be able to prescribe you an oral antiviral. And if you are deemed eligible to receive an oral antiviral, you will get the oral antiviral at a pharmacy that's either in-house or very closely nearby. And so, yeah, that is the kind of the simple version of test to treat. The webpage also has locations to fill a prescription. So let's say the scenario is, you know, you're feeling kind of crummy, you call your doctor, you have a conversation with your doctor, and you want to see where you can get a prescription sent over where a pharmacy that has antivirals. You would just look up again on that same webpage on the test to treat locator, and it'll also pop up locations to fill a prescription. So you can have your doctor send a prescription over to one of those pharmacies that have antivirals.
Excellent. Thank you. Nailed it. All right. So real quick, I want to switch back over to the production side, to the production team, the crew that supports the podcast behind the scenes. Can you speak to how your personal interactions and just being out in the community informed some of the work you did as far as providing a support with some of the questions? And that could be either TK, Savannah, or Serena.
I can just jump in real quick.
Okay.
The way we have been gathering the information from the community grounds has been in such a way that we tend to tap into how they react or how they respond to the events around them, especially when they were doubting the vaccines. They wanted to know, like, what are the contents of those vaccines? and some were basing it on from a religious perspective, where they doubted the content, like they would fly into what they believed in. Some were saying maybe they carry pork products, and some were saying maybe they carried some other unnecessary chemicals that would be injected into their systems. So once you hear such a question, you would come back to the table and say, oh, wait a minute, we need to break down on what are the compositions of these vaccines so that they can have better understanding. So from the vaccine hesitance perspective, it would be a matter of just trying to win them back, but using good knowledge, good information, and good leads for the medical experts like Dr. Bukosi, Dr. Evans to jump in and explain a little bit more on what they really knew the components were. So we became informed, but we're becoming like coordinators in between the ground and the medical expert people, just breaking down the knowledge and information just to defeat the sword of vaccine hesitancy.
And what was some of the feedback you'd gotten after, you know, giving us more informed direction and us producing these episodes? What's some of the feedback you all may have gotten from the episodes? I hope it's positive. If it's not positive, if anyone has negative feedback about the podcast, please put it in the chat. I don't want this recorded.
It's actually positive feedback, because once they had the medical experts talking and taking questions on the Q&A sessions, most of them came back saying they were learning a lot, and they actually started following the session because they began to know more about the vaccine than listening to, you know, street crusade people just talking just for populism, and some were just crafting these conspiracy theories about vaccines and stuff. So through this program, I believe a lot of people have opened their eyes, and it's actually for their benefit and for the public benefit. So it's really surprising that this is the first time the world is attempting to make world peace through the other way. It's never a reality that the world can stop and do something for once being one united global village. But with the vaccines, people were united for the same cause, because they wanted to save lives, especially after they saw people dying. So this has been good information, good public information.
This is for everyone on the panel. So we have some events coming up. Juneteenth is coming around, just summertime, you know, people just being, you know, outside, period. This is also Pride Month. So just more opportunities for us to, you know, socialize are happening. And we know how integral socialization and us just being around each other has a positive impact on our bodies and on our minds and, you know, on our spirits and everything. But at the exact same time, we're still moving around in some risky times. How do you have those conversations with people that you're dealing with? How are you having those conversations? On one end, encouraging them to socialize and do things that are best for their mental and physical wellness, getting outside. But at the same time, you know, communicating a level of cautiousness around that.
I think one thing we have in our favor is that it's summertime. So a lot of that is, a lot of our activities will be outside, which is great.
DJ Ambush, I love how you emphasize that we are relational beings, right? As human beings, we're relational beings. And so we crave that interaction with others. We crave that engagement with others. So it's also very, very, very important for our mental well-being. So encourage people to get together, but do it in a responsible way, right? To make sure you're vaccinated. If you have any concerns or you're meeting indoors, you know, make sure you, if it's appropriate, wear a mask. Or if you feel safer, wear a mask. Like Amani just said, it's summertime. Well, summertime is almost here in Oregon. So we're meeting outside. We're hanging outside. We're hanging out outside. And so that reduces the risk of transmitting the virus.
I was just going to add to that, you know, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, of course, you know, people were afraid to, you know, get groceries. Everyone's kind of quite out of groceries. We've kind of come a long way from there. I think the conversation that I'm having is just a change in our psyche that COVID is here. COVID will be here for a very long time, and this is sort of our new reality going forward. And I think when, I can say when I've accepted that, I think you sort of figure out like how much of your toe you're going to put in the water. I feel like if you're vaccinated, you have a better protective shield around yourself to do some of these really, you know, some of these activities that we haven't been able to do for such a long time. But as I said, you know, this is our new reality. And so, being vaccinated is probably one of the best things that you could possibly do. And of course, if you feel, you know, knowledge is power, we now have the ability to get tested, get our home tests, stay home if you're sick. And of course, if you do get sick, of course, there are early interventions that you have access to. So I think all of those things kind of should give people a little bit more, people should feel a little bit better sort of getting back out into the world a little bit more.
Thanks for mentioning the tests. We mentioned it on the last episode. You can now get 8, if I'm correct, Dr. Dubey, you can now get 8 tests. So if you haven't, since that first request to the government, you can now send another request and get multiple tests, 8 tests for your home. We want to be testing as frequently as possible. We spoke also about how awesome, how convenient it would be if there was one centralized program or one centralized app where people who are testing at home could input their data. And, it's a wish list from the government. Is there anyone else actively, with everyone actively doing their work? Is there anything else you would like to add to that wish list, if I can put that out there without you guys getting yourselves in trouble? But are there any things that are happening right now that would be a lot easier if we were handling a different way, if you had some more tools at your disposal?
So Amani, you said something earlier, which was if you test positive, you can call your provider, right? I really liked how you just slipped that in, and because a lot of people don't know what to do when they test positive. So yes, it's not a centralized way of doing things. It's not a centralized way of gathering information, but at the same time, it's a way to get the word out there that you've tested positive, and you may need resources, or you may need treatment, be it the oral medications or the other therapies that are available out there.
Right. And for those who are connected with a healthcare provider, that's one of the easiest ways to get connected to therapeutics is, you feel crummy, you test yourself at home, you test positive, calling them as soon as possible. That is, that is a great, great response to that. So, and hopefully you have a conversation with your doctor, maybe a telehealth conversation and whatnot, and then they can go ahead and send a prescription over to a nearby pharmacy.
Yeah, and I guess this is Richard. I guess one thing I'd add, and thank goodness Greg is working on it, but just if we have the ability to let folks know if they're at increased risk for severe disease, what they can do, and that they can get that test done, they can get in and either go to a test to treat site, as Amani said, or talk with their doctor and get started on potentially one of these medications that can help to prevent severe disease. That's my wish. And I just really appreciate the work that Greg is doing in making that happen.
DJ Ambush, I just wanted to add one quick thing too. It may not be a wish list, but it's just kind of a thought. I know this is a show about COVID, but one reality is that we've also done a lot of deferred maintenance around all the things that we used to go to the doctors for, our diabetes or hypertension or heart disease. And of course, we know that those folks have increased risk for sort of severe outcomes with COVID. I know there are patients I haven't seen in a long time, and I'd love to see them back in the clinic, our cancer screenings. And so I really just also want to give a plug that, because this is the new reality for COVID, that, other disease processes didn't stop. And this is really a good time to re-engage with the healthcare system to get those screenings and to make sure that you're up to date on your vaccines, for other vaccines too, with your doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Evans, for giving a preview to future episodes, because we're definitely going to be talking about that. It's very, very important. And if we're serving people and if we're answering their questions, and these are things that are coming up in the community. Along those lines, before we jumped on the show, we were talking about monkeypox, right? And how we need to address what's going on in the community and the questions that are going on, that are being asked in the community. So thank you, Chris, for the preview.
Yes, and for anyone that's tuned into past episodes, you already know that there is a slight degree of friction between myself and Dr. Evans. He is consistently pointing out things that I am not doing or doing wrong. one of those darts was just thrown. I have not seen my primary in quite some time. Pandemic has been an excuse for that. Thank you, Dr. Evans, for making that clear, and I will go ahead and make that appointment. Appreciate you as always. But in all seriousness, let's talk a little bit about booster eligibility for children 5 and older. Do we have any new information on that?
Yeah, so the FDA came out with an EUA about 2 weeks ago now for essentially saying that if you are 5 years, 5 to 11, and you got your booster shot more than 5 months ago, you got your, sorry, primary series more than 5 months ago, you are now eligible for your booster shot. So for those that have little ones, 5 to 11, please get them boosted as soon as possible. Because we're now seeing an uptick in cases at schools, right? In my local, where I live, our local school has had an outbreak, several outbreaks actually in multiple grades, and kids are having to be sent home, and teachers missing classes because they've tested positive. And kids missing school because they've tested positive. So the more we can protect our kids, the more we can give them the shield to ensure that they can that they don't get the virus, the better they will be in the long run. So get your little ones vaccinated and boosted if possible.
As always, we're always, pressing people to go out there and get your vaccines, get boosted. We usually conclude our episodes with information with some of the events coming up. So Juneteenth, there are several Juneteenth events happening this month. There's a Juneteenth Community and Health Block Party Celebration from 12 to 4 at 9330 Southeast Herald Street. Right here in Portland. There will be a COVID-19 vaccine clinic, music, haircuts, braiders, family games, face painting, all the great stuff. There's also another event, Juneteenth celebration, Play, Grow, Learn, presents live entertainment. Also, there will be another vaccine clinic there. Family-friendly entertainment, food, fun, and games. That will be from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Vance Park, 1400 Southeast 182nd Ave. And then there also will be another event at North Flint and North Russell from 12 to 6. There'll be a parade. It starts at 11 a.m. And it will go from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. the entire event. And that's on the 18th. And there's a similar event again on the 19th at Albina Park. Some of the people of our community, some of the members of our community, like, there's so many Juneteenth events. I don't know which one to go to. We need to be unified and just have one big Juneteenth event. I do not agree with that, especially now when we don't want large crowds of everyone together, indoors or outdoors, but the ability to make sure we're providing these services and these clinics in as many communities as possible. I think having multiple Juneteenth events is the perfect solution to that. Absolutely the perfect solution to that. So we're supposed to be, I guess we're at that time in the show. We can let the cat out the bag about the new miniseries. I think we can do that.
Oh yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, because that's something that everybody's been talking about, especially with the impending Supreme Court decision revoking Roe v. Wade. I believe the ruling should come out sometime this month. So with that, there's been a lot of talk about women's health, reproductive health, in particular, you know, the right and the access to abortion. Women should be, we're going to do a mini series talking about women's health with providers in the community, with community leaders who are going to inform the public and talk about what reproductive the reproductive justice movement that's occurring, and also talk about where to get help when you need help. Other things that will be discussed will be minority mental health, given that this is June is a minority June is a minority mental health month. So we'll address those things during the episode, the miniseries that we're going to be releasing pretty soon. And one of my favorite topics, which is talking about breastfeeding, in that this is how babies get antibodies from their parents. We're talking about vaccines earlier on. We're talking about how to protect little ones, infants, babies, when they're not able to mount responses to the new environment outside of their mother's womb. So we'll have experts, breastfeeding experts, to talk to us. We'll have women's health, reproductive health experts to talk to us about these topics during the mini series. So it's a little preview. There's more to come. Stay tuned, and we'll give a shout out to those that will be helping us put this together. I also want to give a special thank you before we finish this episode. A special thank you to Savannah for being being the main person that ensures that you know, the show is put together, not just this show, right, but the mini series as well. So Savannah, thank you very much. Special shout out to you. You're not on air all the time, just making sure that everybody knows that without you, we couldn't be able to do what we do.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Savannah just stays on top of it. I think most of the people that interact with me know I'm a pretty hard target to nail down. And Savannah will shoot a text. She'll follow up with an email. She'll follow up with a call. Like, you're going to respond to this ambush, and I'm so glad that she does. I'm going to be better, I swear. Savannah, going into season two, I'm going to be better at this. I'm going to be better at this.
Well, thank you to that, DJ.
So, yes, thank you for talking about the miniseries there. This is going to be taking place June, July, August, September. It's a four-part series. And, yeah, before we close, let's definitely make sure we thank everyone that's been a part of this project. Oregon Clinic, Portland State University, Multnomah County Health and Birth Initiative Program, Multnomah County Reach Program. They're going to be moving forward with us being a part of the miniseries as well. OHA, OHS, you like everyone that has been here from the beginning. Thank you guys so much. Thank you all for joining us for this 50th episode. And yeah. You got something, Greg?
I do. And, you know, I first of all, thank you again for even having this platform. You know, I really believe this is a great thing, and I'm glad to be part of it. Really great thing. And in light of Juneteenth and the events that are upcoming, Dr. Dubé just mentioned the mini series that he's launching, which is fantastic. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the series that OHA Therapeutics is actually began last month with our community webinars, our Lunch and Learn. It's a virtual Lunch and Learn. So, you know, in light of keeping everyone somewhat socially distant, this is going to be a virtual Lunch and Learn webinar. Our first iteration of it was last, or actually I can say last month now because we are officially in June, and it was in May. So we had a pretty good turnout, and the upcoming one is going to be on June 23rd and 24th, which is a Thursday and Friday. Now these webinars are going to be held in Spanish and in English, and ASL interpreters will also be present, as well as closed captioning. So look forward to the information being provided in addition to a newsletter that we have coming out this Friday. So keep an eye out for that. And DJ Ambush and Savannah, I'll make sure that, of course, and everyone here, obviously, will make sure that you guys get the information for this as well, so you can spread it out as far and wide as it can go in the state of Oregon.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll make sure we include that information in the description for the episode, as we try to include all the information from each episode with those questions or any resources that we can. Thank you all so much. It is the 50th episode. This is amazing. Looking forward to 50 more. Should I be looking forward to 50 more? We're talking about bad stuff.
I say yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay. Looking forward to 50 more. We'll catch you guys next week. All right, everybody. Hey,
thanks so much for letting us join you. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.